Yo, heroes, this is James. I got something quick for you real fast. We're talking about family worship, and let's talk about having a solid church, having a solid church. Now, this right here is a website called, it's a pastor, but I found some statistics about what happens when men go to church, And according to data collected by Promise Keepers and Baptist Press, if a father does not go to church, even if his wife does, only one in 50 will become a regular worshiper. If a father goes to church regularly, regardless of what the mother does, between two-thirds or and three-quarters of their children will attend church as adults. If a father attends church irregularly, between two and two-thirds of their children will attend church in some regularity as adults. So it's very, very important for us to establish and have a good church. It's very, very important for us to have a good church. Why are you talking about this? Because in family worship, when it comes to family worship, we have to have something. We have to follow God's command. And one of God's commands, let me fix this a little higher. Sorry. It works. One of God's commands is to gather together in a church setting to hear an elder, hear a pastor give a message. And that's just not the only thing. That message has to line up with the lifestyle, the worldview that you have. So you have to find a good church, not a perfect church, a good church. Your pastor cannot be deconstructing what you are doing at home. So, for example, if you are a homeschool parent, right, and your pastor spends a whole lot of time berating and saying how weird homeschoolers are and all that other stuff, not as a joke, but just saying how bad homeschool is and all the other stuff, and we should be, well, you might not want to be at that church because that's degrading or undermining what you want to do in your home, right? And I'm not saying that a church should support everything someone does at a home. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that you should be able to follow a pastor, a courageous pastor, a pastor that is engaging in biblical teaching, and a pastor that is reinforcing what you're doing at home. Because if you're doing what the Bible says and he's doing what the Bible says, it should reinforce. So you shouldn't have anybody, shouldn't have anyone undercutting you over the pulpit. That's not won't be a good thing for family worship, because all that does is lead to questions when you get home that you have to figure out how to engage with. Let's keep it going. So, okay. If a mother does not go to church, but the father does, a minimum of two-thirds of the children will end up attending church. In contrast, if a father does not go to church, but the mother does, an average of two-thirds of children will not attend church. Other studies focus on Sunday school found similar results on the impact of fathers. When both parents attend Bible study in addition to Sunday service, 72% of their children attend Sunday school when they're grown. When only fathers attend Sunday school, 55% of children attend Sunday school. When only the mother attends Sunday school, only 15% of children attend Sunday school when they're grown. When neither parent, only six of, obviously, right? Another survey found that if a child is the first person in the household to become a Christian, there is a 3.5% probability that everyone else in the household will follow. If a mother is the first one to become a Christian, there's 17% probability that everyone else will follow. But however, if the father is first, it is a 93% chance percent probability that everyone in that household will follow. 93%. The power of the father, the power of the man, the power of the one leading, slaying, and obeying God. This is just one thing about family worship, that we have a responsibility to lead. The power that we have to lead. The numbers are so much greater when a man takes the lead imperfectly. We're going to mess up. We're going to pick the wrong book. We're going to put on too much VeggieTales, probably put on too much Adventure and Odyssey. We're probably going to allow the kids to play around a little bit too much, doing Bible study, laugh too hard at the donkey talking and all that. We're going to do all that, right? But God honors that with, I'm talking about the investment. The investment to the increase, the investment, the time you put into the increase is incredible. It's incredible. Why is that? Why is this? Because God has made us responsible for our families. God has made us. He put us, when God made Adam, he put him in a garden to work and to tend. When God made us, and gave us our wives and gave us our children, he put us in a garden for us to tend and to prune and to shape into the way that God wants it to be. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult, but we must take the lead. Now, I have another reason why I'm bringing up pastors and things like that. We have to, again, I cannot stress this enough. We cannot have pastors that are undercutting what we're doing in our own homes. If the youth pastor is undercutting what we're doing in our homes, you gotta pick someone else. You gotta keep your kids from it or something. You can't have your youth pastor, you're saying, telling your daughter and son, we want you absent, we want you abstaining. We don't want you giving yourself over to things. We don't want you dating like the world dates. We want you courting. And this is the way we do it. We'll figure it out, blah, blah, blah. But the youth pastor is handing out condoms and telling it's okay to kiss and it's okay to hold hands and letting the boys and girls mix up and going to parties and doing types of weird stuff in youth groups where the boys are playing with the girls' feet and they're getting real close to each other and all that other nonsense. You cannot allow for a strong family worship time. You got to make sure your corporate worship is something that's edifying to the body, to your family, and to your household. And I'm not talking about edifying like it has a great youth program, it has coffee, it has bubble wrap, it has all these bubble wrap, it has all these floaties and balloons and all that other stuff. No, I'm not talking about you be entertained. I'm talking about sound doctrine, that it has sound doctrine. That's what you're looking for in family worship. So recently, if you didn't know, Roe v. Wade has been overturned and has been given the power over to the state. And we as Christians are fighting until it's no longer legal to kill babies. We're going to keep on pressing. We're going to keep on fighting. But we're celebrating the fact that Roe v. Wade federally has been overturned. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So what I mean by undercutting, you cannot have a pastor. Cannot have a pastor that does this.
America, turn back the hands of time. This week, America turned back the hands of time and declared a war on women in this nation. I wanted us to stand resolvedly to say to this nation that if America was authentically pro-life, then they would immediately abolish the death penalty.
Okay. Okay. First off, the death penalty is not a life issue. You get death penalty based on the sin that you've committed. And if God calls for it, in the Old Testament, there was something called the Avenger of Death, and he will come to the city and kill people who have, if I'm not mistaken, murdered someone. And you had to hide in another city from the Avenger. God gave the death penalty. God gave the death penalty in Exodus. You remember when every our firstborn sons were murdered? Let's keep. Oh, this is a speaker, a motivational speaker, Jamal Bryant. So I'm gonna keep this going because this is cross-eyed foolishness. Let's keep it pushing.
If they were really pro-life, then they would put more money into Head Start programs.
What does educating three-year-olds have to do with the pro-life? Well, we're really pro-life, but if we kill all the babies, there will be nobody to teach Head Start to. You know that, right? Okay. I think we put billions of dollars, if I'm not mistaken. And this is a clip from Thank You, Woke Preacher Clips, because you do an amazing job. Let's keep it moving.
If they were pro-life, they would seek to cure the opiate addiction in this nation. If they were pro-life, they would.
You know, the opiate thing comes from people doing illegal stuff like drugs, which is illegal. Pro-life wants to make murder, continue to say that murder is illegal because Roe v. Wade said murder is legal. Not only murder is legal, but it's legal, and we're going to make you pay for it with a little bit of your tax money here and there. Give billions of dollars to Planned Parenthood or the Negro Project. Let's call it by the real name. The Negro Project, the eugenics project. The irony of this is ridiculous.
Anyway. Make sure that teachers feel safe in their schools.
Let them carry. Let them be armed. They'll feel safe. Homeschool your kids. There'll be no need for them. Let's keep it going.
If they were pro-life, there would be stricter measures about gun control in this nation. If it was pro-life.
I can't take anymore. There's a spot right here that I want you to listen to.
A woman's issue. Unless I don't understand how pregnancy works, men have to extend their voices as well. And so we speak to this nation to declare that New Birth stands with the amazing women of this.
His church is called New Birth, and he's mad because more babies are going to be birthed. New babies are coming, but you're mad because the baby murderers, obviously your church can't murder babies, or he might be feeling guilty because he might have paid for some. I don't know. I don't know the guy. I just know it's funny that his church is named New Birth, and he's mad about new births.
Church of this community and of this country, that women have the right to have authority over their body.
Yeah, but that's not their body. Women have the right to have authority over their body. Yeah, but it's not their body. Women have the right, basically, to murder their children because it's inconvenient. It's inconvenient, so you murder it. That's the only way women can have rights. Because if you don't have the right to murder your baby, it's injustice. You should murder your baby in a noonday. Murder your baby in noontime. Murder your baby in breakfast. You should be able to murder your baby every time. Are you ready to murder your baby? Get your hatchets out and murder your baby. Can I get a amen? This dude is tripping. Let me get off here for murder your baby. Can I get a praise to Beelzebub? Can I get a praise to Baal? Can I get a praise to Molech? Because that's who I praise and worship. Thank you, Satan. Something wrong with me. All right, so family worship. If you go to this church, leave, obviously. And Jamal Bryant, you never go hear this, obviously. I don't care. You need to repent. You're helping Margaret Sanger Negro Project go on a lot faster, a lot further. You actually throwing a fit that Margaret Sanger's vision of killing off the weeds in the black population can't go on anymore.
We can't murder like we want to. Help. It's injustice. And if you really cared about it, you'll make sure that everyone in the house has Fruit Loops. If you really cared about pro-life, everyone will have Ninja Turtle toys. If you really care about pro-life, there will be toys for tots. If you really care about pro-life.
And you fail to remember that pregnancy resource centers are done by Christians. Most of the hospitals are made by Christians. Most of the missionary things going to third world countries. Most of the poverty relief things are all made and done by Christians. Most of them. If not, no, a vast majority of them. If I'm wrong, check me in the comments. So what say you? Am I tripping? And also, what say you? Is it important? It's very, very important. Not is it important. It's very, very important. I'm going to say this and let me go get off. It's very, very important for men to understand the authority that God has given them to take responsibility to lead their families. And when you lead, you see the stats and figures. When you lead your families in worship, when you lead your families in reading the Bible, when you lead your families, God will take the little bit. God will take the little bit and increase it greatly. You will understand the impact you have when you spend time with your sons and daughters, when you talk about the Bible, even imperfectly, when you kind of don't know everything. Those things will impact generations. You are pouring into your great, great grandchildren. When you'll be gone forever. And no one will remember great-great-great-daddy, but they know the impact of that because your son taught his son, and his son taught his son, and his son taught his son, or your daughter taught her daughter, who taught her son, who taught her daughter, who taught her son. All that, it has an impact that lasts for eternity. This is the fight that we have. So men, last time, link up with a church that has sound doctrine, that does not undercut your authority as a man. Ugh, another thing, a church that does not undercut male authority, does not undercut manliness, does not have a church that does not undercut the fact that you're a man. If the pastor is treating you just like the TV is treating you, like you're a bumbling idiot and things like that, you got to go. You got to go. Find a strong church. And if you can't find one, reform one or create one. That's your only choices right there. And that's all I got to say. Lead your families, slay dragons, and obey Christ. Peace. I wanna be-